Sorry, I forgot he is. Wrong week.
Morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, the city council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Potter?
Okay, could you begin with the first communication?
Item 1138, request of Pete Colt to address council regarding crime in Northwest, Portland Department of Transportation, Portland Parks and Recreation, and the police.
Morning. If you could just state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Colt, good morning, gentlemen. And actually, one of the things that wasn't on that was that I actually set out today to thank each of you individually for the time that you give to us here in the city. It's a very difficult thing that all of you do. Some nights you're working late. You're not home with your families. I came here also to ask you to please thank your families for their generosity in allowing you, giving you the permission to come out and do the things that you do for us. I try to be involved in the city, and whenever I go to one of these things after hours, there you guys are, and there's your staff, always giving, 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 giving. So I think we should thank you more often, and that's why the primary reason I came today, and to thank your spouses and your children, boyfriends if you have one, for their generosity to the city as well. PDOT, I want to say so many good things about PDOT. Where would I begin? You really keep the city running. I want to thank you for the new lights on Burnside. You've really helped pedestrianize it. It's much safer these days to cross Burnside just by adding those lights. I want to thank PDOT Sharon White for doing the sting in our neighborhood because I live in a bedroom community, basically. Northwest Portland in the Alphabet District is a very densely populated part of the most densely populated neighborhood in Oregon. And so there's always those conflicts between cars and pedestrians, and it helps that she's going to be doing two more stings in our neighborhood. I want to thank our police department. I'm here today not as chair of the Public Safety and Livability Committee, but just as a plain old citizen to say that our police department and our dispatch department have been outstanding in dealing with the crime that goes on, particularly in my part of the Alphabet District around Trinity Episcopal Cathedral, around St. Mary's Cathedral. I want to thank Father George from St. Mary's and the school, the new cathedral school itself, for really helping the neighborhood by maintaining their property, getting rid of graffiti as it appears, which brings me to Marcia Dennis. Marcia Dennis has been instrumental in helping us reduce crime in our neighborhood because, as you gentlemen know, those stickers that they put on the back of the parking signs are transient language, telling them where to go, where to buy drugs, what to do. So simply by removing the stickers off the back of the traffic signs, we're really decreasing crime in our neighborhood. I want to thank, from the Housing Authority of Portland, I want to thank Teresa Sanchez. She has had a very difficult job managing the building on Northwest Everett at Northwest 20th Place, cleaning that up. John, who takes care of the tower on Northwest Everett and 19th, the police say he's been instrumental in cleaning up that building and helping the neighborhood reduce crime. Also, Teresa Sanchez has taken on the really difficult task of, sorry, guys, out of time. Got to come back next month and thank you some more. See you later.
Thank you. For your work, Pete. Appreciate it.
Could you read the next item, Carla?
Item 1139, request of Lee Iacuzzi to address council regarding trans panic.
Morning. If you could just give us your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes, and there's a clock in front of you there.
Thank you. My name is Lee Iacuzzi. I'm a writer activist called Not a Good Queer. I'm here to talk about my two decisions with the state of Oregon, with the Bureau of Labor and Industry, the Civil Rights Division, where I won 2 gender discrimination cases. In the process of winning the 2 gender discrimination cases, I became a criminal. How does that happen in the city of Portland? I find it quite hysterical. I'm lucky I'm not in jail. I wanted to talk about trans panic because it's a defense mechanism used by the feminist women's community against transgendered people. Unfortunately, people in the feminist women community, many are lesbians. Even though I won a substantial decision with the Civil Rights Division, these two organizations, Bradley Engelhaus and REACH CDC, still have not included gender in their mission statement. This is a policy of the city of Portland. This is a policy of Multnomah County. This is now a state policy. So the women say, we don't want transgendered people in our building because they scare us. Well, did they say the same thing about African Americans being in the same bathroom, being in the same building? Isn't it the same language that's being used over and over and over? On 9/12, when I went public about what was happening, four women went down to the courthouse and filed stalking orders. On the fifth stalking order, they told the judge that I had a civil rights case. Well, first the judge said they didn't have a stalking order. And then they told the judge I was transgendered and that I wanted to be a man or something. And then the next question the judge asked was, do I have any weapons? I'm going to play a video for you. This video I taped on the 15th, and the next day this woman got a stalking order on me showing how afraid she was of me.
Is this video 25 seconds?
It'll be enough time. This woman right here got a stalking order on me. She said she was afraid. The next day, she had a stalking order.
Sorry, but your time is up.
It's time for you to take some action.
Lee, let me just, as the housing commissioner, let me just respond to one thing. You mentioned REACH CDC, and we have, as you know, a city rights, a civil rights ordinance at the city, and we also have state ordinances. So I will follow up on that and get back to you as to whether you mentioned mission statement, but it would be a non-discrimination policy that would be part of their handbook and their policies. So I'll report back to you on that.
Thanks.
Could you read the next communication, please?
Item 1140, request of Walter Valenta to address council regarding Bridgeton Trees settlement.
Good morning. If you could just state your name for the record, you have 3 minutes.
Walter Valenta, Bridgeton Neighborhood. I'm here to announce that we have a settlement on controversy over cutting down trees on the Bridgeton levee. The reason I'm coming to let you know is next Monday the first trees are coming down, and I think it will be newsworthy, and there'll be press and video of all that. So I wanted you to know that this is something that we worked out between the Army Corps of Engineers, the Drainage District, the City Forester, Bridgeton Neighborhood, and I sent you out a picture. Initially, in this photograph, every one of those trees were going to be cut down in the original proposal from the Army Corps of Engineers. We saved about just under half of those that you see in this picture. We went from 131 trees being cut down in the neighborhood to 69. But probably the most important thing is that, and I want to thank Commissioner Salzman and his people, because these trees are going to be mitigated and rather than exempt from mitigation, and that's probably the most important thing. The settlement actually allowed us to do some very creative things in the neighborhood to bring alive the streetscape plans we have and other sorts of things. So even though we'll really miss these trees, we're trying to do the best we can so that the levee's certified and that the trucking interests aren't panicked that the crazy neighborhood is trying to destroy their businesses and things like that. So it was a very complicated agreement because trees that were going to be cut down are going to be mitigated on different people's property. So this was a very complicated proposal. I just wanted to show you, you know, the entire neighborhood was surveyed. Every tree was ranked. Every place you could plant a tree in the neighborhood was identified, because there's such a narrow little spot to plant trees on that we really had to have cooperation. So maybe your neighbor's going to cut down a tree and you're going to plant the mitigation tree there. So it was very creative, and want to particularly thank Rob Crouch, who came to numerous meetings, and then whatever behind-the-scene things Dave McAllister was doing in council. But actually, every one of you had a role in this when it was really hot and heavy last year, and thanks for all the pressure that everybody added, but particularly your team there. Thank you. And Monday morning, there's a press conference, and there'll be visuals of trees being cut down, which, of course, people are going to love to see. By the way, every tree is going to be reused. A lot of the trees are going to go to Smith and Bybee Lake to become wetland restoration things. There are trees that are being crafted. There's furniture being made out of these trees. I mean, there's a tremendous level of depth to this settlement. And thank you. Wanted you to know.
Thanks for your work.
Thank you for your work. Thanks, Walter. Okay, we're now at the consent agenda. Are there any members of council that wish to remove any items?
Dan, I'd like to pull item 1173, pull it back to my office.
Okay, without objection. Is there anybody from the audience that wishes to pull any item from the consent agenda? Okay, Carla, please call the roll on the consent agenda.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
That brings us to our regular agenda, item 1177.
Revise the business license law code to use the term tax instead of fee, clarify certain sections, and create a new chapter titled Temporary Businesses.
This is a second reading. This is a second reading, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so just please call the roll.
Adams.
Well, I just want to thank Terry Williams, Sue Klobertanz, Scott Carter of the Revenue Bureau, and Shane Abma from the city attorney's office, also Warren Jimenez and Kimberly Schneider from my office. And I'd also like to thank the consideration made by the Small Business Advisory Committee, the Portland Business Alliance Chamber of Commerce, and the Association of Portland Neighborhood Business Associations that have all been part of crafting this and that have endorsed this change. And I know some of you in the room from the real estate industry, so that were not here at previous meetings. So just, I want to say to you that there are two loopholes in our business license fee, our business taxes. One is for insurance agents, and the second has been for associate brokers for realtors. And associate brokers, real estate brokers, have been paying the county tax all along. Back in the 80s, through very effective lobbying, you got exempt from paying the city's business license fee. And that's great. That's the democratic process. But there has been no rationale given for why you would pay the county business income tax and not the city's business income tax. The fact that we're closing one of two loopholes with real estate agents for associate brokers, and we will pursue closing the other loophole for insurance agents in the state legislature, that money is used to and it's about $125,000. So this is not a big tax increase burden for the industry spread across all real estate agents. That will be used to increase the owner's compensation deduction to $125,000. So if you make more than $125,000, you will be paying additional taxes at the end of this reform. If you don't net more than that, then you won't. We also have used these resources to increase from $25,000 to $50,000 the total exemption. So new real estate agents that don't gross more than $50,000, they will not have to pay anything. So I know the information you've been getting from your association. I've seen it. I'm aware of it. They're doing what they have to do. I appreciate your discourse in this effort. I've gone to your board personally. We've worked on this for over two years, and it is absolutely the fair thing to do. So I want to thank the City Council for their support of this, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Fish.
I want to commend Commissioner Adams for his leadership on this issue. This is the next important step in the road to both reforming our business license fee and providing some long overdue relief to our small business community. I'm a strong supporter of moving the business owner's compensation deduction to $125,000 over time. I think the $50,000 floor is going to be of help to a lot of our small business people. At our last hearing, we heard some concerns about non-resident businesses that had a de minimis contact with the city of Portland. That's an issue that Sam indicated that he would, in the continuing process, take another look at and would be open to reasonable proposals in the future. I intend to take a look at it. Overall, I think this is fair and balanced and does bring us in line with the county, and so I'm pleased to support the resolution. Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Okay, it passes. Read item 1179, please.
1178.
Oh, I'm sorry, did I jump one? Yeah, 1178.
Amend contract with the Immigrant and Refugee Community Organization to facilitate the City Summer Youth Employment Program.
Oh, Joseph?
Good morning. My name is Joseph Quinones. I am the manager of the Diversity Development and Affirmative Action Office for the City of Portland, which is in the Bureau of Human Resources. This ordinance amends the contract we have with the Immigrant and Refugee Community Organization to operate our Summer Youth Employment Program. And what it does is add just $28,000 to the contract in order to cover the additional expenses of the increased wage based on the new minimum wage that just came into effect at the beginning of this year. So that's what this is for. We have three students that want to speak to you today. We also have a number of other students who I'd like to have recognized, if you don't mind.
With everyone who is now a student in the Summer Youth Employment Program, please stand up. Working for the City of Portland, please stand up. We have 70 students involved in the program this year. We've had over 400 involved since the program began. Thank you very much. Have a seat.
We've had over 400 students attend or participate in this program. We've had a 99% completion ratio, and in the last 3 years, we've had a 100% completion ratio. And we've also had 100% involvement of city bureaus in this program. Now, I'd like to ask Jasmine Samples to introduce the students, if she would, please. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Council. My name is Jasmine Samples. I'm the lead coordinator of the Summer Youth Employment Program. This morning, we have Demetrius Cox Lincoln, Kyan Sue, and Sydney Melson. For a brief word, thank you for your time and the opportunity for these.
Thank you. Welcome. If you could each just state your name for the record, and then you have, well, tell us what you want to tell us. We'll start with you, Dimitri.
Yes, my name is Demetrius Cox Lincoln. I'm a student at Benton High School and will be a junior this fall.
My name is Kyan Sue, and I just graduated from David Douglas High School.
My name is Sydney Melson, and I will be a senior at Jefferson High School this fall.
Which bureaus are you working in?
I'll go.
Oh, you have something? Okay, go
yeah.
ahead.
So, good morning, Mayor and Council members. Yet again, I'm Sydney Melson. I will be a senior at Jefferson High School this year. I had the opportunity to intern for the Bureau of Human Resources Diversity Development Affirmative Action Office. It was definitely a new experience for me because before I worked with kids, so the office setting was a new environment. I came into the office having a very little knowledge of computer technology, but my managers and coworkers helped me learn how to use Microsoft Excel, Microsoft Outlook, and better my skills with Microsoft Word. This has been a great experience for me because I learned a lot about the city and the steps they are taking to become a better, diverse, and unified agency. And I think that the Diversity Development Affirmative Action Office are giving a great effort to enforce that. If I could go through this experience all over again, I certainly would. Although I would suggest longer work days, maybe having the option to work up to 8 hours a day. I will definitely use what I learned from the city I will definitely use what I learned from the city for jobs awaiting in my future. So thank you, Mayor and Council members, Diversity Development Managers, Bureau of Human Resources, and ERCO for giving me this wonderful opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you.
Members of the Council, thank you for the opportunity to speak. This summer, I had the wonderful opportunity to work in the Office of Management and Finance as a receptionist and office support. Some of my responsibilities include distributing mail on the 12th floor, scheduling conference meetings, and directing visitors. Also help with projects such as researching for the ongoing effort to develop a government youth portal and evaluating data for a benchmarking project. This week, I'm designing the brochure for the City to Youth program using InDesign. Through my internship, I've learned vital work ethics and skills from some of the city's most outstanding employees in the Office of Management and Finance. I practice professionalism in a work setting and gain a better understanding of real-life situations. In the beginning, the greatest obstacle that I encountered was the difficulty of internalizing all the information necessary to assist others. However, with repeated exposure and personal efforts, I soon overcame this problem. Although I learned a lot from the tasks I completed, the most important things that I've learned were through my interactions with the office staff. When I helped Sharon Wolf file ordinances, she also took the time to explain what they were to me and the process in which to go through to be passed. When I was working on a benchmarking project, Lisa Shaw, a financial analyst, taught me how to use features in the Microsoft Excel program in order to efficiently sort through the data. I believe that the benevolent staff at OMF inevitably shatters the preconceived notions that many youths have regarding adults, that adults do not care about our opinions and view us as being incompetent in a work setting. The most important insight that I've gained from my internship at OMF is that the City of Portland really does try to involve youth in the government. Through various efforts such as developing Youth Portal and other projects that the Planning Bureau is working on, the city is building a bridge across the invisible gap between government and youth. I've also learned that our government not only listens to youth's concerns, but also advocates for the younger generation to voice their concerns. The experience that I've gained from my internship will undoubtedly help me with my future aspirations, regardless of what career I may choose to pursue. I know that all the SYEP interns are grateful for the opportunity that the City of Portland has bestowed upon us. On behalf of all the interns, I sincerely thank the City Council, the Bureau of Human Resources, and ERCO for giving us a chance to give back to communities that fostered our intellectual and personal growth. I would also like to thank everyone at OMF who provided me with their guidance and helped make my internship a truly rewarding and memorable experience. Thank you.
Thank you. That's great. Demetrius.
Yes. Again, my name is Demetrius Jamar Cox Lincoln. I attend Benson High School this fall, again, as a junior. And this summer, I interned at the Revenue Bureau. And even though that was a wonderful experience, my focus is actually on the Summer Youth Employment Program in general. I actually honestly think that the program is an amazing thing, and youth council should be proud to be a part of something like this. So many teens in America waste their lives or drop out of high school and for various reasons, with one of those reasons being not enough interest. But with this program, we could put into that discussion, because with this program, you can find interest. Kids get to learn stuff they don't get to learn in school. They get to ask questions, see how government works, get involved in all kinds of things like that. And the kids today are the future of tomorrow. And very easily, with much possibility, a kid from this program can very well sit in one of those five seats in the future. And I think, you know, the way life is now, we don't want just anyone sitting in those five seats. We want people who's been involved since they were young, people who've seen and lived through these problems, and people who know what they're doing. And with this program, we're getting kids involved and opening their minds to be something more far significant than a doctor or an NBA star. They're opening their minds to be an ambassador, somebody who represents their city, somebody who helps keep the streets clean and keep people safe and make it more equitable. And this program has given students the opportunity to do that. I honestly actually think there should be a few, that it should expand the depth. There should be more hours, a wider range of training or interns that can actually be accessible, maybe even one who can intern for the city council or city hall, because All right, well, okay, sorry. But yes, well, okay, we'll skip a part because I actually don't know exactly where I'm going. But, well.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
First timer. Yes, well, soon all you great beings will be retired, and I'm sure you will want the city to take care of you the way you took care of it. Well, with this program, we're making that kind of progress. Therefore, I think, well, with this program, we're making progress. Therefore, there are interns who are ready to accomplish, ready to learn, and ready to make Portland and the world a better place. Thank you again, Demetrius Lincoln, for letting me state my case.
Thank you all. You definitely make us big supporters of the Summer Youth Employment Program by your words today.
Let me also just add that after listening to all three of you, and we hear a lot of testimony from people significantly older than you that come before us, and you did a great job and showed a lot of poise and moxie and guts coming up here. But after listening to you, I'm convinced that we're just keeping these seats warm until you're ready to run. So just let us know.
All right.
Thank you very much. Okay. Good to see you again.
Good to see you too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I just had one question for Joseph, I guess. So we have 70 youth employed this summer?
That's correct, sir.
Okay. Is that the number we've had?
We've had that number. The first year was 35, but then you funded 70, and that's how many we have right now. The program is operated by ERCO, and they will be operating again next year because they have an extended contract. And next year they say, based on the funding we have now and their savings, their ability to use that funding efficiently, they'll have room for 75 students at the current funding level for next year. And they work 30 hours a week.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. This is an emergency ordinance. Please call the roll, Carla.
No one signed up to testify.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Forgot that. Adams.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, this is a great program, and I'm really glad the council has supported this over the years. And I want to thank Joseph and Bureau of Human Resources and all these wonderful youth who are getting good city experience, and we hope you'll consider coming back to work for the city because we need people. We need young people to be filling the ranks of the city workforce. And I want to thank ERCO, too, for its great work. Hi. Okay, it passes. Item 1179.
Clarify new policies being implemented as part of the adoption of the 2008 revision of the City Stormwater Management Manual.
Good morning. I'm Lana Danaher with the Bureau of Environmental Services. Haven't been here for a while. I'm here today to introduce the new code that will clarify the 2008 revision of the Stormwater Management Manual, and also to get kind of announce that the Stormwater Management Manual has been completed and will be implemented this fall. The code is pretty simple because it's basically just a clarification of language. It has a couple of things in it, though, that I think are going to be pretty innovative. And one of them is the ability to allow us to have shared facilities with private parties. We've never done that. We've always had this clear distinction between shared facilities. And these are green facilities where we can work in partnership with private property owners. We also have a section in there that allows us to be careful about accepting groundwater into our stormwater system from development. And this is to codify a practice that has been in place for 2 years. The most important thing, though, is that the Stormwater Management Manual is supported by this and has been revised. I was thinking about it this morning, and it's come a long way since 1999 when it was first adopted. In 1999, we had to struggle to get vegetated swales considered as a viable option, and it was only allowed for a very limited application. Now we are requiring vegetated facilities for stormwater management. In 2004, we did as well, but there was a great number of lack of clarity, and there was problems with implementation. The theme of the new manual is all about implementing. We've worked very closely with PDOT and with BDS, staffs that are involved in implementation of for new development and redevelopment to ensure that the process can be quick and that it's clear how to incorporate green street details in public rights of way and on private facilities, which has not been there in the past. We also have adopted a calculator that allows flexibility in the sizing of vegetated facilities to reflect the site conditions. And we've undergone in a collaborative effort with Water Bureau and PDOT to adopt street green details for standards on how we will build green facilities in public rights of way in all new and redevelopment, as well as CIP projects. I think this is come such a long way that I am very proud to say that this manual is out in now and will be implemented. We will have manual staff available to BDS, and we'll be working with BDS on implementation. We have started training, and I just want to say that it is unbelievable how wonderful the staff of PDOT and BDS have been in the last 2 years in developing this manual, so that it is truly a city stormwater management manual that is will be recognized, as it already is, nationally for its progression, for being so progressive. And it's because of PDOT, BDS, and BES that we're able to do this. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions?
Any?
Well, I just want to thank you for your work on this. This affects tens of thousands of properties and thousands of developers and homeowners. It is a major revision, a major improvement. We've been working on it for 2.5 years, and you've been the thin edge of the wedge, and it's hard work, in many cases tedious work, and I just want to thank you as an unsung hero for making the city much greener than it is.
Thank you. Any questions?
I would echo those remarks too, Lana.
Thank you.
Do we have anybody signed up to testify?
I did not have a sign-up sheet for this.
Anybody wish to testify on this? Okay, this is a first reading, so it will advance to a second reading next week. Item 1180.
Authorize a notice to proceed to Portland Streetcar, Inc. to commence project management and design and civil engineering services for final engineering of the Portland Streetcar Loop project.
And could I have the team come forward? Olivia, is Olivia Clark here? Michael Powell, Vicky Deedy, Bruce Warner. Yeah. I don't think it's a surprise to anyone that our efforts to secure the federal funding for a $75 million from the Federal Transit Administration for the Portland Streetcar Loop has been challenging. Of course, the sad irony is that the Small Starts program was created by Congressman Earl Blumenauer, who used to have the Transportation Commissioner job for the City of Portland for the very purpose of funding streetcar projects, but we're working through this. We are, we've had some incremental success. And the President Bush's fiscal year 2009 budget request includes $50 million for the Loop project, and the Senate Appropriations Committee report also included $50 million for our Eastside Streetcar Loop projects. And these are important steps in securing the funding. There are still some political and administrative tasks ahead. The House has completed their markup of the appropriations bill. They have decided not to release any information to the public and probably won't do so until after the November elections, and it is also very likely that Congress will not send the fiscal year 2009 budget bill to the president until after a new president is in office. They will keep the federal government running through a series of continuing resolutions. Ken Rust, who is not able to be at council today, did send us a memo which concludes that the budget appears to be adequate to accommodate proceeding with final engineering on the streetcar loop. Ken scrutinized the worst-case scenario to the city, the qualifications of city expenditures as local match to the project costs, the cost of delay, and the contingency built into the project. I appreciate his tough questions and fiscal conservatism and feel confident that the project team has met his concern. Ken believes the risk to the city is minimal for proceeding because the FTA has confirmed TriMet that the pre-award authority they gave the project development activities includes the final engineering phase, and that all those costs retain eligibility as a match for any future federal grant, as well as the strong support for the federal funding. The final engineering of this project is a valuable investment for the city's infrastructure and is an important improvement to our transportation system. Based on the recommendation of PSI and the support of OMF and PDC, I offer the ordinance to proceed with final engineering for the East Side streetcar loop. This is an emergency ordinance because the additional 30-day wait for a non-emergency ordinance would result in additional $500,000 of costs due to inflation. So, did I read that too fast? Okay. So I'm going to turn to you, Vicki.
Just briefly, I just wanted to remind council that last March, the council approved the contract amendments with Portland Streetcar Inc. for final engineering. However, there were conditions that were placed on the notice to proceed and indicated that it would not be issued until Ken Rust is the chief administrative officer and Commissioner Adams is the commissioner of public utilities believed that there was a high likelihood that we would get the federal funds. And that we further define that that level of confidence would be demonstrated when the Federal Transit Administration issued a finding of no significant impact to the environmental assessment work. In the parlance, it's called a FONSI. The second condition was that the Federal Transit Administration issued a cost-effective rating of medium or better, or that there was a notice of congressional appropriation. So some of those conditions have been met, but not all of them. The FONSI was signed by the Region 10 FTA Administrator on July 2nd. In early June, the Federal Transit Administration notified Metro that the project would not and could not meet the medium cost effectiveness criteria, and we should all stop trying to do so. This was despite a very prolonged effort by project consultants, Metro, and TriMet to provide information to the contrary. However, the FTA administrator contacted and gave assurances to the Oregon delegation that he would seek another avenue to provide funding. And that has remained pretty nebulous up to this point in time. But as Commissioner Adams indicated, the more progress has been made on the appropriation side. But since the Federal Transit Administration's funding participation is capped at a total of $75 million, minimizing further delays to the schedule beyond the two-month delay that we're currently in the middle of, would become the responsibility of local funding because we're seeking the full $75 million from FTA. So project staff and consultants developed a contingency funding plan, which is Exhibit B to the ordinance, that does two things. One, it provides the resources needed to fund final engineering and uses only local and regional funds included in the adopted project budget and in amounts that do not exceed their current fiscal year's budgets. The second thing it does, and this is kind of the worst case scenario, is and that is in the event that no federal funds are forthcoming, it provides a way to allocate all of the costs for final engineering plus the project's costs that have been incurred to date for conceptual planning and preliminary engineering in a manner that makes it legal for us to seek reimbursement from various sources. And this becomes important because of the legal requirements of tax increment funds and how they can be used. So we allocated the total conceptual planning, preliminary engineering, and final engineering costs to each of the urban renewal areas and for the Broadway Bridge, which is not in any urban renewal area, based on their respective share of the total estimated project costs, excluding vehicles. So these percentages define the funding within each URA and how much they can contribute, and we can make that work. I mean, this only becomes important if FTA Small Starts grant is not approved and the project is terminated before construction. While it is an unlikely event, it would seem sensible to understand the situation so that the project can be legally reimbursed for the expenditures up to that point in time.
So because this delay will only add more cost to the project and it will only become a local obligation, we would ask that the council authorize the notice to proceed. Thank you.
Thank you. Bruce?
Good morning, council. For the record, Bruce Warner, the executive director of the Portland Development Commission. I think I'm pinch hitting for Mr. Bruce Allen, who I think was to be here this morning. But a few things I would say is, first off, I think you know my transportation background, and I think in conversations with Dan Bache, your intergovernmental relations director, and others on this project, I believe that the funding will be here for this project. It's just a matter of when, and I think it's very prudent to move forward with the final engineering on this project at this time. I want you to know that we have budgeted our share of the project amongst the various urban renewal areas, as Ms. Didi has outlined. And remind the commission or the city council that we did work with Commissioner Adams and PSI and PDOT on a risk analysis of this project to really make sure that the costs were good and solid, and there were no risks that we had not identified so far. And I'm pleased to again remind you that risk assessment said that the estimates and the timing are sound. The only real risk that we saw was again the federal funding. And the timing of that. And if there's anything I know from moving major capital projects forward, the longer it takes to do the project, the more it's going to cost. So moving forward with the final engineering at this time is prudent and advisable to keep this project moving and not have any delays in the project, which will, again, minimize the cost. And then the final thing I would say, with gas now, at $4 a gallon, you need to be aware that we're talking with businesses who are continually now seeking to relocate to places along routes of alternative transportation, in other words, bus routes, light rail, or streetcar, and I think you're going to see that more and more as the price of fuel continues to escalate. So we need to have this project, and I think this is a way to keep it moving along and minimize the risk due to delay.
Thank you. Michael.
Good morning. I'm Michael Powell. Thanks for the opportunity. I chair the Portland Streetcar Inc. Board. I've been associated with the board now almost since its inception. It's been a wonderful project. It's an important day. It's a step, but a very significant step in the realization of a vision that dates back to the Central City Plan that we would have a streetcar loop around downtown, our own Ringstrasse, and this would be a key element of that vision. I want to thank take this opportunity to thank the city staff, Commissioner Adams' office, PDOT, TriMet, Metro, the staff of PSI, and most importantly, the folks on the Central East Side who month after month for over 6 years met on a monthly basis, on a volunteer basis, to see this project through its design phase, through its preliminary engineering, and now into final engineering. Those folks have shown real citizenship, and you should be proud of them. As you know, the streetcar links to South Waterfront and OHSU, to PSU, to the Cultural District, to Pearl, up to Northwest Portland and Good Sam. This now would afford us the opportunity to join that linkage to the Lloyd District, Convention Center, the Rose Garden, to the Central East Side at OMSI, and then ultimately across the new bridge back to South Waterfront. It's a bold and brilliant vision. It's realized great success. Close to 4 million people will ride it this year. That's almost capacity. We've had over $3.5 billion of development within a block of the streetcar at high levels of density. It's been a success on all levels. This week, we've had national attention from the New York Times and the LA Times on the success of our project, and we are a leader in this world. Now, some 70-odd cities have joined together in a coalition to attempt to break the dam that the FTA has put up to stop streetcars, but they will not succeed. I think there's a new curse to be passed around. If you really have a political enemy, may you spend the rest of your life negotiating with the FTA. Fortunately, our congressional district...
Sadly, it's part of my life right now.
Hopefully not much longer. Fortunately, our congressional district has stepped up. Congressional members have stepped up, particularly Congressman Blumenauer and DeFazio and Senator Smith and Wyden's offices. To see this through the authorization process in Congress, and I believe that I have strong conviction that this will be funded and we can go ahead on time. Time is not our friend here because of the rising cost of materials, and we need to move expeditiously. I urge your adoption today and look forward to returning in, at the end of final engineering to announce the beginning of construction and getting your support for that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Questions? Thanks. Do we have anybody who signed up to testify on this?
We have one person, Chris Smith.
Is there anybody else in the audience that wishes to testify? Okay. Chris, just give us your name and you have 3 minutes.
Good morning, members of council. I am Chris Smith, and I am here in my capacity as chair of the Citizen Advisory Committee for Portland Streetcar, and am the registered representative of that committee. The CAC doesn't typically get into financing matters, so wearing that hat, I can't speak to the specific risks of the federal funding, et cetera. But what I would like to convey is the extreme enthusiasm of the CAC to see this project commence, to bring the benefits to the east side that Streetcar has generated on the west side in terms of walkable, friendly, well-designed neighborhoods and an urban environment that really is a pleasure for all users. Wearing my hat as a PSI board member, I would like to speak to the fiscal issues. There is no question that at this time on any capital project, delay is very expensive. We need to get this moving. It's the fiscally prudent thing to do, and I urge you to support the ordinance. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Thank you. Okay, this is an emergency ordinance, so please call the roll.
Adams?
I want to thank the good folks at the Portland Office of Transportation, Greg and Kurt and others, and PDC and Shoshana, and the Portland Streetcar Inc. Carter. Aye.
Fish.
I'm going to support this ordinance, and I'm a strong supporter of the East Side Streetcar Loop. I would like, though, to place a related concern on the record. It's on a matter that I've had the chance to talk to the mayor-elect about. It may come as a surprise to people who are here today that in the challenge brought by the so-called Friends of Urban Renewal to the River District plan amendments, specific elements of the challenge to the expansion of the district, and this is separate and apart from the controversy that has been generated over the so-called satellite district to David Douglas, specific challenges in the appeal include a claim that there has been an insufficient showing of transportation inadequacies, which would, in the judgment of the so-called Friends of Urban Renewal, mean that we should not proceed with any streetcar plans funded by TIF, insufficient showing of a lack of social services in the Old Town Chinatown area, which would, according to the Friends of Urban Renewal, lead to cancellation or the reprioritization of funds that are currently dedicated to the Resource Access Center, and an insufficient showing of inadequacies in affordable housing, which would place no fewer than 6 projects that this city has signed off on at risk. In other words, in addition to challenging the extension of the boundaries and challenging the findings of blight, the so-called Friends of Urban Renewal have staked out a position that they, not this deliberative body, should be making judgments about how to prioritize tax increment financing money within the district. And as a result of the appeal, which has been filed with LUBA, or we have a notice of appeal to follow, the Portland Development Commission has notified the community that there could be as much as an 18-month delay in meeting our commitment to build the Resource Access Center and to proceed with some affordable housing projects, which are central to the deal which this council struck with the community, both through the SAFE process, the Street Access for Everyone process, and in meeting the needs of low-income and vulnerable individuals in our community. I fully understand why the so-called Friends of Urban Renewal have picked a fight over satellite districts. I think we all acknowledge that there is some gray in that issue, and that issue may appropriately be framed for consideration by LUBA and possibly by a court. But to append to that appeal a challenge to the new boundaries of the River District Urban Renewal Plan, and to challenge our authority to make judgments about transportation, planning, social services, and low-income housing, and the effect of that action to potentially delay by up to 2 years progress which we have committed to me is unconscionable. And I want the public to understand that this is no longer just about satellite districts to David Douglas. This is about a challenge to the authority of this body to make judgments about how tax increment financing dollars will be used to benefit our community. I'm pleased that in my conversations with the mayor-elect, he strongly shares this concern, and particularly with respect to low-income housing, which is part of my portfolio, has agreed to work to address this injustice. We have an emergency ordinance before us today, and as I said earlier, I'm a strong supporter of the East Side Loop, and I do not in any way want to put a barrier to moving forward with this proposal. But I would also note that this, to the extent that there is any tax increment financing which would be a backstop to this proposal, this light rail is outside of the existing boundaries of the River District Urban Renewal Plan. And there are projects which this council has prioritized which apparently will be placed on hold because of an appeal which, in my judgment, has no merit. So with that statement of concern, I'm pleased to join with the mayor-elect in supporting this particular resolution. I think the case for the streetcar has been made, and we need to proceed. But I want the public to understand that the fight that has broken out over the River District Urban Renewal Plan is no longer a fight simply about a school in David Douglas, but it puts at issue the fundamental question of who is going to be making judgments about the use of tax increment financing dollars for our most vulnerable individuals in our community. Aye.
Leonard.
I appreciate the comments of Commissioner Fish, and I agree with everything he said, except that there might be a gray area in the concept of satellite districts. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I appreciate Commissioner Fish's comments, too, but I'm really pleased to support this final engineering for the East Side Loop. I think while there is not, there is some risk, I feel pretty confident that our congressional delegation and Commissioner Adams have been working hard, and that we will be ultimately rewarded for that sometime in hopefully early 2009. So I think this is a risk well worth taking. Aye. Okay, our next item is 1181.
Authorized subrecipient contract with Portland Development Commission for $11,304,796 for rental housing development and provide for payment.
Yes, Commissioner Fish.
For the benefit of my colleagues, this is an issue which in past years I think would appear on the consent agenda because it is a relatively non-controversial matter involving the contractual agreement between the City of Portland through the Bureau of Housing and Community Development and our partners at the Portland Development Commission, in which we set forth the obligations by PDC to provide rental housing development on behalf of the City of Portland. But in this particular moment, we chose to put it as a regular agenda item for two reasons. One is that I wanted to publicly acknowledge the collaborative work and the true partnership that exists between BHCD and PDC. This was not a contract without a few hiccups along the way, but there is a good working relationship between the two agencies. This contract reflects the product of, I think, a lot of hard work and a positive relationship which exists. And second, to the extent in this fall, my bureau, BHCD, will be making presentations on a series of housing matters, including a sustainable budget, a proposal for how we may modify housing incentives for middle-income housing, and a vision for our housing going forward. I thought that it would be appropriate to put the contract as a regular item in case members of the council had any questions. I've asked the two lead players in this just to make very brief comments, and I'm pleased to introduce Will White, who is the director of the Bureau of Housing and Community Development, and Comey Kalavar, who is our partner on housing issues at the Portland Development Commission. Will?
Thank you, Commissioner, and good morning to all of you here on City Council. I'm pleased to be here today to speak briefly about this BHCD contract with the Portland Development Commission. It is indeed a contractual relationship which spans more than three decades, and it is BHCD's largest single contract. We have over 100 different organizations we contract with. This is our largest single contract at this year, $11.3 million. History of the contract is that for most of those 30-some years, this has been, PDC has acted as the implementer of the federal funds that come into Portland from our federal government. But over the last 15 years, as City Council has seen fit to put General Fund and Housing Investment Fund into our housing agenda, PDC has also been the implementer of that city money as well as the federal money. The scope of the contract includes housing development, which is underwriting and construction management, also the loan servicing for those loans that are made, and the asset management of the affordable housing that we consider an essential part of the city's infrastructure, in which the city, while not the direct owner, has a substantial and critical investment. So I'd call out just three themes that underlie this contract. I have talked at some extent with both Commissioner Fish and with the leadership at PDC about the themes of collaboration, accountability, and efficiency. So we're looking to see how these two agencies, BHCD and PDC, can work as closely together as possible, that we have clear accountability of what we are asking to have done and good data coming back so that we can report to City Council about our accomplishments on an annual basis, and finally make sure that we're making the most effective use of these public funds. As you know, we're also engaged in a study of the local housing system, and PDC and BHCD are amongst the funders and sponsors of that reexamination of our housing system. And later in the fall, we'll be talking more with City Council about that. So with that, that's just some of the major points I wanted you to be aware of, and we look forward to beginning yet another year working with PDC to implement this housing funding. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Comey Kalavar. I'm an interim housing director at PDC. On behalf of the PDC Commission and our executive director, Bruce Warner, I'm pleased to join BHCD to request that you adopt this contract. It is for $11.3 million. This is the federal funds that enable PDC staff to work on housing, affordable housing projects citywide. And we've done a couple of projects in Gresham as well. So I might say the Multnomah County. It's been a long-term relationship, nearly three decades, as Will mentioned in his remarks. And this partnership has had its share of challenges, but we've worked through them successfully. And with new Commissioner Nick Fish, we're on course to evaluate the system and work towards efficiencies and stronger partnerships, as Will mentioned as well. So with that, I thank you very much for your time.
Any questions? Okay, thanks. Is there...
If I may say a closing comment.
Well, I don't want to see anybody wanted to testify. Okay, we don't want everybody to testify. Go ahead.
My colleagues are aware that there has been a so-called Clegg study that has been underway to consider a system-wide restructure of how we deliver housing in this community. By adopting this contract, we are not in any way limiting our right as a deliberative body at some time in the future to consider a restructure. We technically can contract with whomever we want to deliver our services. We are continuing with this contract to partner with PDC to be our contracting party. But to the extent at some point in the future the council has an appetite for a restructure, then this would be revised accordingly. But I also want to acknowledge that this was not an easy contract for us to close out, but I have been impressed by the spirit of partnership and cooperation between the parties, and I want to specifically acknowledge the good work of Comey and Julie Cody, Tony Barnes, and, of course, Bruce Warner. And my team, thank Will White, Andy Miller, Daniel, and Stephen for all of their good work. I believe, based on the experience of the negotiations over this agreement,